Sufferings, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is here to help you better secure your Bitcoin, to make it easier for you to buy Bitcoin, and to offer you financial services on top of your Bitcoin. Everything at Unchained revolves around 2 or 3 multi-sig collaborative custody. They have an IRA product, which historically has had a fee associated with it, but they ran a campaign earlier this year. It was massively successful, and they've officially dropped their fee to 21 cents. So if you want to transition your IRA from a traditional IRA into Bitcoin, you can do so very easily via Unchained and very cheaply, 21 cents. Go check it out. Go to unchained.com and use the code RHR at checkout for any of their services, whether that's concierge, onboarding, or anything else that they're offering, and you'll get $50 off that service or product. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best hardware in the Bitcoin space. If you're watching the video, you can see this nice, beautiful block clock behind me, but they also have the Cold Card Mark IV, which is a hardware device. It's got 2 secure elements. It's the best way to create private public key pairs in an air-gapped way offline. They also have the Cold Card Q. Update on the Cold Card Q. Comes in many different colors, so you don't just need the plain plastic see-through. They've got many different colors now. They also have a new reseller. What would we call this? A product or a program that if you want to resell Cold Cards, they've really streamlined that process. So go to CoinKite.com. Check out all their products, whether it's a block clock, a Cold Card, a Q, Sats Card, Tap Signer. They've got it all. CoinKite.com. Still don't know if we have a promo code there. Try RHR. Try it and see what you get off. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI, hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Was that your Italian impression?
That was Mario.
Let's let the freaks hear. That was pretty impressive.
Let's go. It's me,
I'm Mario.
Thank you so much for playing my game.
The plumbers need Bitcoin too, freaks. They need it too. It's crazy out there. The bull run started. I hope you're ready. It feels like the fall of 2016. I said this earlier. This week, people are sleeping.
The fall of 2016, Bitcoin was $600. And it ended 2017 at 20K. Was that it?
I think it intraday top ticked like 21,000. I think official.
I don't think we ever passed 20K that run.
I think the official like daily close high in 2017 was around 17,000.
There you go.
So nice, Martin. Humble, what is that? Like a 30X from here?
Humbly, yeah. So what is that? That is...
it's $1.8 million.
You just called for a nonchalant $1.8 million year?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm feeling kind of bullish today.
It should be a pretty fun 51 weeks. I'm pretty excited.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Would be pretty cool. I was telling Matt before we recorded, I've been up since 4:30. One of those days where you wake up.
Congratulations.
You stare at the ceiling. And you have today, Jim Harbaugh. Lewis Roberts has been sending me this video weekly for the last 2 months. Jim Harbaugh. You wake up, you're staring at the ceiling. You're like, I can go back to bed. Then you realize it's today. I only have today. I'm going to get up and seize the world. And I found myself reading funny threads about PPP loans.
Literally the opposite of seizing the moment.
It was okay. Yeah, I got to start the day with the laugh. Alaskan king crabs almost went extinct in 2022 because of PPP loans. I found that out this morning. Got a good chuckle out of it. Oh, how we feeling? This is a funny thread. We don't have to get into it. We'll link to it in the show notes if you guys want to go through it.
Shout out Seth in the Noster live chat for already zapping us 10,000 sats. Appreciate you, Seth.
Shout out to you, Seth. Let me pull up. Speaking of the Noster live chat, let me pull it up.
rhr.tv/stream.
Ba 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 ba. How we feeling?
Feeling good.
Do we want to talk about the Kamala meltdown? Did you see any of that?
What was the Kamala meltdown? The Charlemagne?
She's had many this week, but...
this is a politics podcast.
Many people are saying that her interview on Fox News last night is the nail in the coffin of her campaign.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad.
I think she was pretty fucked regardless. I think that's why she was going on Fox News.
Yeah, bad move. David Sachs from the All In podcast, the Rabbit Hole Recap, copy and paste podcast, the clone. Yeah.
He called that pretty early. He called that pretty early, the feedback loop.
Yeah, the Kamala paradox.
As soon as she starts going down in the polls, she's got to do more media, and as she does more media, she does worse.
Yeah.
Like he kind of nailed that call.
Yeah.
I like the idea of making it a precedent being set that presidential candidate should go on Joe Rogan. It seems like both of them are going to go on Joe Rogan.
I don't think she's going on Rogan after yesterday. There's no way.
What else? She doesn't really have a choice, does she?
Do you think she can last for 3 hours in a studio? I don't think he lets like handlers in or anything like that.
Yeah, but I mean, once again, back against the wall, what else are you going to do? We are a politics podcast, right? And there's a clear gender breakdown between candidates, and she's getting absolutely crushed on the young male demographic. So where else do you go besides Rogan? That's the place to go. And it's either make or break, right? I think she's fucked regardless. But logically, it flows back against the wall. You got to do it. And I mean, I like long form. Obviously, we do a lot of long form. I like listening to long form. So I think it would be a positive step to see both presidential candidates go on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. And we'll see. I mean, that's why she went on Charlemagne's or whatever. She wanted the black male vote, right? So she went on that, and then she went on Fox. I don't know why she went on Fox. She's never going to get any Fox listeners to vote for her, regardless. And then you go on Joe Rogan because of young men. And there's our politics analysis for the day. I'm sure we'll talk about more politics. We got Mav21, zapped us 21,000 sats. We have Seth wanted to top him, so he zapped another 69,000 sats. And my screen's not loading, so I don't know who zapped us 21,000 sats.
I'm not able to get into zap.stream right now. It's coming up blank for me.
I got it. I can manage that live chat. Well, someone zapped us 21,000 sats. Paulie zapped us 21,000 sats. Thanks, Paulie.
Thank you, Polly.
Thank you all. Amethyst is working. As
yeah,
always.
I also agree in the YouTube chat with Winsome Hacks, like a Rogan debate with Rogan as the moderator. The two of them, that'd be dope. I think it would just be good for the country.
The Rogan memes that have been coming out of hilarious. Have you ever heard of the stoned ape theory? No. Tell me more.
Someone's asking about my camera setup. I got a new travel setup, which I'm trying to fine tune. But my biggest issue was light. So I've been using the new travel setup for the last few weeks. But I also, I just got a light.
You gotta hold it up. It's a lantern, really.
Well, it's because, like, I didn't want to just travel with a podcast light. Like, it'd be nice to have a lantern too. So
it's a lantern.
I killed two birds with one stone.
I like it. I'm big. Like, why get one of these big lights when you just carry a lantern? Multifaceted. You can use it for podcasting. You can use it to guide your family through a dark house.
I legit bought it at REI. I was like, powered by USB-C. I love standardizing everything on USB-C. It makes life so much easier.
The angle of the light does kind of have like a, you're going to tell a horror story vibe.
Well, I'm wearing a hat, right? So you want it lower. Otherwise, because if I put the light high, then you have the shadow.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I could have more lights, but fuck that. I'm trying to travel light.
Have you led your family with a lantern yet?
No, but I will tonight just for you, Marty.
Thank you. I need a video.
It has like a fake fire flame glow, but I'll use that one for the when I walk them.
Yeah, you have your nightcap on.
I do not have a nightcap, but
your jammies. Do you have jammies? Do you wear jammies?
Dude, the Zaps are fucking. No, I do not. I sleep. Silent Link just zapped us 69,000 sats. Quit Telegram, delete the app, fuck the spooks.
Nice.
At silent.link, great tool. Buy eSIMs with Bitcoin. Yeah.
And before you go to do it, make sure your carrier doesn't block you. And if they are, reach out to your carrier and get unblocked. I ran into that problem in Riga.
Yeah, I mean, you had a locked phone. Always buy unlocked devices, freaks. Fuck the carriers. I really like the flex now of just data only unlocked devices using Silent Link. No phone number. Then you use an app like Hushed App for your phone numbers if you need a phone number for something. It's a really, really nice hack. And then I just do most things through Signal. Like work is like pretty much all through Signal now. I got my family on Signal. So that's all data only. The trick to getting your family on Signal is the only way they get baby pictures is if they download Signal. So even my 90 plus year old grandmother is on Signal because she wants baby pictures. Bitcoin Alchemist, I see you zapped us 21,000 sats shilling Bitcoin prediction.market. I have it on the list. But while I have you paying attention, are you the person behind it? Because it is
another person behind it.
Okay.
He's coming on TFTC next week.
Okay. So Marty's endorsing it. So if you guys get rugged by using the custodial prediction market, never mind that Marty said it's safe. But I like how clean it is. I like that it just uses Lightning. You don't need an account.
I think he is Bitcoin Alchemist on, if you look at his Twitter profile, which I just put in the show notes, Logan.
Well, he's on
James Parag. James is coming to Austin. We're gonna do an in-person rip. We'll talk about it.
There. I put it on the list because prediction markets are something that I find fascinating, and I've always been really frustrated that there aren't, you know, easy UX Bitcoin ones. So this, it's good to see.
This is pretty easy UX. Logan, just pull it up. I mean, they have the U.S. election prediction market. Right now it's got about
like no money in it.
Yeah, it's got more than 2 million sats. It's generational wealth in three decades. But as you can see, it's tracking with Polymarket pretty well.
It's because there's probably like ARB people, right?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I assume there's at least a couple people that are ARBing it. So you just go, like, if it's wrong, if it's off of Polymarket, then you go through the convert to ETH or whatever Polymarket uses. And then you bet on Kamala, you bet on, I don't know, I guess you bet on Trump over there, and then you bet on Harris on Bitcoin prediction market.
James and I were talking about it yesterday. It is ETH. It uses Matic. What was he saying? I don't know. Long story short, like Polymarket relies on Matic network on ETH, so that's like layered risk. And the thesis with Bitcoin prediction markets is that people will just converge on a Bitcoin prediction market because it's the best money. It's got the best network effect. And
yeah, but I mean, ideally, you'd want one that's not custodial, but because otherwise, you know, it's more. I mean, prediction markets, like a custodial prediction market, is a fancy name for a just like a betting website. Like you could go on Nitrogen Sports or whatever and bet on the candidate. And in that situation, it's custodial. So you have to hope that they pay you out.
I think the goal ultimately is to do this with DLCs and have different oracles that you can feed from.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard this for fucking years, but yes, that would be
ideal. I'm still bullish on DLCs. Very bullish. Marty has been at
the beginning of this, since the 2016 bull run, Marty's been another similarity between the fall of 2016 and the fall of 2024 is Marty's still bullish on DLCs, and we haven't really seen a working product using it yet.
Timing. Things need to get built out. I think it needs to be facilitated via the Lightning Network or something else, maybe something combination of Lightning Arc, eCash. I think eCash, that is custodial. Maybe you do it in a Fedimint to make it distributed custodially. And the whole thing with DLCs on Lightning, and who knows if this will ever happen, because it would take a Herculean transition from HTLCs to PTLCs, hash time lock contracts to point time lock contracts. That's something that's also been talked about since 2016, since before Lightning even launched. But
so it is Bitcoin Alchemist. He's responding in the Noster chat. I like Bitcoin Alchemist. He seems like a good dude. He said we looked into doing it with DLCs. Terrible UX, huge liquidity requirements, but non-custodial. Here's some research, and he linked to it in the Noster chat. Yeah, which is basically what I've been saying to Marty since 2016.
I'm still bullish on DLCs. They're going to come. Timing. We're still in the front order of the order of operations, Bitcoin success, and the timing's just not right yet. It will come. Shout out to everybody pushing DLCs. The Atomic Finance team is the only one I can think of at the top of my head. Shortbits. Really leading the way on the research and the libraries that make it possible. But let's jump into the list. Before we get to the list, let's go to Clark's dashboard. Current price of Bitcoin is 67,160 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck is going to get you 1,489 sats, sitting at a $1.33 trillion market cap, which means we can probably talk about this, that Bitcoin is officially again surpassed the British pound and is now the sixth largest base money in the world, sitting only behind gold, the dollar, the yuan, the yen, and the euro. I believe the yen is the next currency that Bitcoin will overtake as the largest base money on the list of largest base monies in the world. We are currently at block height 866,073. We are 807 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which is estimated to be on October 22nd, which will be next Tuesday. Right now, it's looking like a positive adjustment of 0.8% about 1%. Blocksman coming in at 9 minutes, 57 seconds on average since the last retarget. And since we're less than a week away, that's probably a good estimate. They're currently 154,980 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, which has been the target of a lot of ire this week, maybe we can talk about that. Fee rates are 10 sats per V-byte for low priority, 12 for medium, and 14 sats per V-byte for high priority transactions. If you're looking to get into the next block, probably want to put at least a 14 sat per V-byte transaction fee on your transaction. We did have like a mempool spike yesterday. I saw fees were around 400 sats per V-byte for a period of time yesterday. There are currently 227,876 transactions in mempools mempool.
Do you want to talk about mempool? Anything really came up on Nostr. What went down on Twitter about them being shit corners?
The Ocean team's not very happy with the fact that the mempool.space open source project has made it possible to basically read what inscriptions are being inscribed into the chain.
But like, so Logan, hit the data. You see the data under mempool goggles? Okay, now pick one of them. One of the little ones, I think, are the runes. Okay, then go down. Where is it? It's, you got to click the transaction. Go up. Click the transaction. Did they remove it?
No, I think you got to go to details.
Click details. Click details. And by the way, 1031 is the largest investor in mempool.space. It's like angels plus us. Go click details.
Click what?
It's details, bro. You got to click details.
Go up a little bit. Down below the flow chart details.
On inputs and outputs?
On inputs and outputs.
Okay.
No, that's not it. Maybe this one isn't a rune. Go back to data. Click a little one in data.
I clicked a little one.
Did you click a littler one? Details?
Pretty little.
No, that's not it. Go back. I'll go to mempool.space. You're doing horrible.
It is hard to find. I mean, I think the point is being made here. It's like, you know, hard to find.
My point is get a fucking life. Like, what the, like, who the fuck gives a shit?
I found one.
You found one? Send Logan the link. Like, they're decoding the op return data if it has like one of the bullshit shitcoin runes in it.
Yeah, it just says runestone. Like, that's all it says.
And then you can click it, right?
Yeah. Transfer. Yeah. Dog go to the moon.
It's like, okay, guys. Like, really, I mean, if you want to use another Block Explorer, use another Block Explorer. But, oh, my God.
Transaction just got accelerated on the site.
What was that?
Mempool's clearly the best Block Explorer.
Was that your phone?
It wasn't me. Muted. I'm muted?
What happened to Matt?
I can't hear you, Matt.
What the fuck is going on?
That's not my fault. I did nothing.
No, it wasn't acceleration. Last acceleration was...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
It wasn't me.
On the stream?
We just had a witch cast a spell on the podcast, freaks.
Yeah, the sound was on the stream. But anyway, out of everything that's going on in the world right now, like that's what Bitcoin X wants to argue about is fucking ridiculous. Not to mention, Ocean participates in the transaction accelerator program on Mempool, so it's a little bit odd. But
yeah, it's very. It's like, pick your battles, people. That's. It just took us 3 minutes to find one of these things.
It's like just decoding what's on the fucking blockchain. If Mempool really wanted to be, this is like a classic, like, friendly fire bullshit. Like, if Mempool really wanted to sell out, when you looked at the description of the mempools, like the diagram or whatever, it would show like the pictures of the inscriptions in line. Yeah. Which they could have gotten a ridiculous valuation if they did that. And they didn't do that. This is just decoding op return data. It's like getting mad at op return bot.
You know, some people, priorities, man.
Well, anyway, Noster mostly ignored it.
I mostly ignored it. I mean, I saw people kvetching about it. And then you had like this. And it turned into a classic Streisand effect. People started complaining about it, and then everybody, like from Taproot Wizards and the Ordinals crew, were like, "We're gonna." And they started donating. It actually turned out well for Mempool.space, the open source project. They got a ton of donations due to the Streisand effect, and it was used as a marketing opportunity by the people that the Ocean team and others were. We're complaining about. So just strategy. Think strategically. Pick your battles. Is it really that big of a deal? Have fun building your own block explorer and excluding that data. I don't think anybody's going to notice. It just took us 5 minutes to find one of these things.
I mean, it's an open source project. You can literally run your own instance. The shitcoiners are running their own versions of mempool.space already that are more useful to them.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the list.
Well, I'm glad we covered that important piece of news.
Yeah, we sort of had to. 2140 Foundation launched to support open source Bitcoin development. 2140 is a new nonprofit organization based in Amsterdam, co-founded by Bitcoin developers Josie Baker and Ruben Thompson, dedicated to supporting open source Bitcoin research and development. We have mentioned 2140 in the past, last month or the month before, and we are now happy to announce that they have officially launched. This is great to see.
Yeah. And OpenSats helped seed this launch. Josie and Ruben are prolific contributors to Bitcoin, long-standing proof of work. They're going to have physical offices in Amsterdam. I think this is just a classic example of what we really want to see here is we want to see a thousand flowers bloom, right? We want to see as distributed of an ecosystem as possible for supporting open source contributors. So there's no central point of failure. And I'm glad to see them join the fray.
I am as well. Speaking of OpenSats granted a long-term support grant to GreenArt 7C3 for his ongoing contribution to the Noster ecosystem.
So his two main projects are Citrine, which is a local Noster relay that runs on an Android phone, and Amber, which is basically like a vault that holds your Noster private key so you can easily sign into apps on Android without giving them your private key. So he's very focused on this like client-side local Android ecosystem. And he's done really great work on that front. So we're very proud to support him.
Shout out to OpenSats. Shout out to long-term supports grants. I'm going to try and get back on Zapstream here because I feel left out from the live chat. And it's still not working for me. What the hell's going on, Kieran? Let me try a different browser.
It might be... I was having some issues with the ISP at my last Airbnb. I had to go onto VPN.
It was the browser. It was Firefox. Interesting.
Interesting.
All right, moving on the list. Blockstream closed a $210 million convertible note financing round led by Folger Ventures. So Blockstream, pretty big round for them. Funds will be used to fast track the adoption and development of Blockstream's layer 2 technologies, expand mining activities, and increase their Bitcoin treasury holdings. Adam Back, the CEO of Blockstream, said the latest fundraise represents a defining moment for Blockstream as we embark on a critical new phase of growth to further bridge the gap between Bitcoin and the wider world of finance. Nugget here. seems like Blockstream. I mean, I think the trend of raising money and using some of the proceeds to simply buy Bitcoin is not a trend anymore. It is basically what you do with money when you raise it. Something that we advise 1031 portfolio companies to do and focus on heavily, Sats Flow and Bitcoin Treasury. If you are investing in the space, that should be the ultimate goal of the companies that you are investing in, is to accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible, because your benchmark is Bitcoin. And the only way you're going to outcompete that is if the companies are accumulating Bitcoin at a rate that is faster than Bitcoin going up.
It's not a complicated concept. The goal of an individual and the goal of a company is to be profitable, and you should measure that profit in Bitcoin. So long term, your goal should always be to accumulate as many sats as possible. If you're not accumulating sats, then you're doing something wrong, and you have to lower your expenses. You have to increase your cash flow. And that's true for an individual. That's true for a company. That's true for governments, as we're starting to see happen. But anyway, I'm going to have Adam on Citadel Dispatch on Wednesday at 1700 UTC. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the recent Bitcoin documentary that he was heavily featured in. And we're going to talk about the upcoming Lugano conference.
Subscribe to Citadel Dispatch, your local streaming platform, podcasting app, whatever you prefer.
There you go.
Moving on, Italy plans to raise Bitcoin capital gains tax from 26% to 42%. Not great, Italy. One of the pigs. Is it Portugal, Italy, Greece? Isn't there two G's? Spain is in there. Pigs. Pigs are like the ugly stepchildren of Europe from an economic perspective. Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. Yeah, it's a word that's like you don't want to be part of the pigs.
I've not heard that one, but that's quite derogatory.
It is. These pigs, their economies suck, and the rich people are leaving the country, and so they're trying to keep that wealth in. And Italy, this is a quasi-Bitcoin ban because it makes it somewhat burdensome to use Bitcoin as money.
I mean, yeah, it's a light 6102 attack, right? And this is probably how we start to see. Satoshi Witness says it's Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. There's not two G's in pigs, I guess. It's like basically a 6102 attack, particularly if you move if you put inflation in it too, right? Because as inflation rips, even if you're flat in real terms, it still counts as a capital gain. And we'll probably see this happen in more and more countries. Now, I will say in America, we have an exit tax. So if cap gains is raised, you can't legally escape it. But in Italy, I don't believe they do. And I mean, we were just talking about Lugano, like you can get in your car and drive up to Switzerland, move there. So it should be interesting to see how that works out for them.
Bold strategy.
I will tell you the Lugano Bitcoin community, first of all, is a special beast. I had the privilege of being out there in July. But second of all, it was very much seeded by Italian refugees.
Get out while you still can, Italian freaks. It's not looking great. I mean, this is emblematic of a broader problem in all of Europe, not just the pigs countries, not just the ugly stepchildren of the European economic zone. Europe is pretty cucked. They're EU regulations make it hard to start a business. Taxes are going up. Their energy infrastructure is decaying.
Dude, I mean, like, first of all, Italy is a beautiful place.
Hey, you got to separate the physical landscape from the economic and political apparatus that is the Italian government.
I mean, but if you were going to pick three places in Europe that I would like, Portugal, I think would be like, if I was going to be European, I would love to live in Portugal or Spain. So
Spain is the most beautiful country I've ever been to.
Yeah. So the ugly stepchildren of Europe. I mean, I wouldn't live in Europe, but, if I were to, those would be high up on my list.
Yeah. You know, you have a great mother-in-law when she knows that you're a surfer. So my in-laws are in Portugal right now. And I woke up to two videos from Nazaré in Portugal from my mother-in-law saying, we're at the beach with the big waves.
And
Portugal's
pretty friendly to Bitcoin.
Yes, very friendly.
They have really good tax treatment there. I mean, obviously.
Madeira's there.
Well, Madeira's like the middle of the Atlantic, but it's technically owned by Portugal.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think something like this comes to the U.S. eventually?
What, like a Bitcoin-specific cap gains increase?
Yeah.
Yeah, potential. I mean, Mandibles could be. I mean, to be clear here, like we have an exit tax. So if you leave, if you leave the United States and don't rescind your citizenship, you still have to pay federal cap gains.
Trump wants to end that. He wants to end double taxation.
If you rescind your citizenship, you have to pay cap gains as if you sold everything at the time of rescinding your citizenship. That's the exit tax. So from a legal perspective, Americans have a very, very aggressive tax system in terms of the global, how it works globally. Non-Americans have a lot more options in terms of tax arbitrage.
Yeah, it's not great. The state hates you. Try and take all your money.
You think Trump is going to abolish cap gains?
No. I think he's posturing like he's going to lower them, but
you know what the problem with that shit is like he keeps making promises about like different deductions and shit. Like the whole thing just needs to be like wiped fucking clean, and it just needs to be very, if you're going to tax us, it's got to be very simple. Like it's ridiculous, like all the different layers of like loopholes and deductions and bullshit. It's like the most predatory fucking thing ever. So I like mean, if he was going to be serious about it, if he was going to be serious about it, it should just be like literally just burn the whole fucking tax code and put a very simple tax structure that takes like fucking 15 minutes for you to fucking calculate.
Let's crowdsource this because I can't remember, but like he got laughed at when he was running for president, I believe in like 2008 or 2012, but Ben Carson had it simply. I think it was like the 999 plan.
999, yeah.
It was like 9%.
9% income, 9% cap gains, and 9% sales tax?
Yeah, something like that. He got laughed at, but that's what it should be. And we've talked about it before.
The problem with sales tax is quite regressive. It affects the poor people the most.
Yes.
The problem with our current tax code, tax structure, is like it affects the middle class and the upper middle class the most. Because they're generating decent amount of income and cap gains, but they're not savvy enough to get around it. Then the rich are paying very, very little, and the poor are paying very, very little. But it's the middle where you don't have, you know, like a team of guys that are like making every loophole possible to get around everything. And it's us. Like we're the ones who are milked the most.
Stop milking me, state, please. My udders hurt. They're sore. Taking all my money. We're getting corrected. It's a 777 plan. Even better.
No, it was definitely 999.
Definitely wasn't 666, because that would just not land well with the American public, particularly the Christians.
They'd rather pay higher taxes.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, I know many of us, myself included, are excited about the prospects of Donald Trump getting back in office, because the current administration and the prospects of a Kamala Harris administration are extremely Marxist and communist. And
I don't think she's a communist.
She's a communist. She's literally using communist tropes. Let's turn the page, move forward as a communist trope.
I think I'm the exception to the rule, but I like to think I'm the quiet majority that doesn't think Trump is a fascist and doesn't think she's a fucking Marxist. But I do think Trump will be significantly better for my financial future.
Yeah, but regardless of who gets in next month, technically beginning of next year, gets sworn in, they're getting handed like a terrible a country with that's almost $36 trillion in debt. Stan Druckenmiller was out today, this morning, saying that he thinks that the Fed is going to remain hawkish. So he seems to be under the impression that they're not going to lower rates as much as the market thinks they do right now. And Stan Druckenmiller has been pretty correct throughout his career. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes to fruition. And it's not going to be easy. And we've talked about this over the last couple of months. Like, if he is going to enact economic policy that isn't extremely inflationary, and he's going after these tax policies that would reduce the tax revenue that the government receives year in and year out, like, he's got to gut the administrative layer of the federal government. He's got to come in and afuera everything. It seems like they want to do that, but
I want a pet unicorn.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, like, it's pretty fucked. It's not going to be good.
Trump will likely win. Inflation will likely rip. Money will likely be printed. The tax code will not be improved much at all. But our bags will do well. Our bags will do well, and our guns will not be taken away from us. And
that's all we can hope for right now.
And hopefully Ross gets freed.
Day one. Day one, Donald. The WorldFi coin did not launch to much fanfare.
Do you see you can't even transfer it?
Doesn't shock me.
Someone on Noster posted the terms and conditions. It's non-transferable. This is Donald Trump's shitcoin that his entire family is like on the advisory board. I assume they're going to like enable transfers in the future. This is like a classic like legal bullshit thing. But still, it's pretty crazy to see in the terms and conditions. Like, you have to KYC, you have to do all this stuff, and then you're not allowed to transfer it.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of inflation, pretty excited. Been tracking this guy down literally for years. And luckily, there's somebody in the comments who's been more aggressive than I have been, and that's Will Cole. We have got into contact with the creator of the Chapwood Index, Ed Bukowski, and he's going to come on TFTC. We're going to talk about real inflation and why the government...
The Chapwood Index for the freaks is trying to measure inflation accurately, unlike the CPI, which is often used but is heavily manipulated to make it seem like inflation doesn't exist.
Yeah. Shout out to Will Cole for being persistent. He's literally been emailing him, I think, once a week for the last 2 years to figure out who he is. And so he's going to come on TFTC.
Just following up on the above. Just following up on the above.
Hey, it takes a village. It takes a village. We're making some inroads. I think this is the... And this gets into the next topic we have on the list, which is an article that dropped in institutionalinvestor.com, which is a website that many institutional investors like to scour, from what I understand. And it was written by Andrew Holmes, founder and CEO of Battery Finance, another 1031 portfolio company. He wrote an article, Can U.S. Pensions and Bitcoin Mix? And you guys can read it for yourself, but I think the most prescient part is the second to last paragraph. Perhaps no segment of institutional portfolios will be more severely impacted by inflation than fixed income, which is ironically considered low risk, quote unquote low risk, even with below trend monetary depreciation rate of 7% going forward. A par repayment for 10-year, you can tell this for institutional investors, a par repayment for 10-year credit is worth just 50% in today's dollars. Even assuming no defaults due to credit risk, the fact that approximately 25% of U.S. pension assets are allocated to fixed income implies a 12.5% real loss of total assets. That is the biggest risk confronting pensions today. Inflation relentlessly erodes the real value of fixed income assets and further destabilizes an already fragile and underfunded system. And Andrew in this article is making the case that pensions need to begin to seriously consider an allocation to Bitcoin. And what he lays forth in the article is maybe the jump to buying Bitcoin outright and holding it within your pension is a bit too far of a jump for you. And Andrew and the team at Battery have been working on some fixed income products that imbue Bitcoin and fixed income together and allows you to basically buy what is deemed to be high quality fixed income and pair it with Bitcoin to juice your returns, which prevents you from having to go out on the risk curve and buy junk bonds with higher yields and take more risk as a pension. And he's basically ringing the alarm bell saying inflation's killing you, your pensions. Pension managers need to be aware of this. If they aren't already, they should be. Many pensions throughout the United States are severely underfunded, and it is time to seriously consider Bitcoin as part of your strategy. And bring this up, number one, because it's on the list. Number two, just getting to a broader theme, like I think this is the cycle in which Bitcoin as super collateral within credit products really begins to shine. We're going to see first movers, Battery Finance being one of them. They have multiple strategies that they want to employ in the realm of imbuing Bitcoin with structured credit. And as we just discussed, no matter who gets in office, inflation is most likely going to increase, and that is going to be a massive problem for institutional investors, pensions specifically.
Great summary.
You have anything to add? Any color to add?
Great piece by Andrew, and Andrew's great. He's just a really good dude. I mean, what was the headline? What was the title of his article?
Can U.S. Pensions and Bitcoin Mix?
And the article is just yes.
Yes, they can. They can.
Look, ideally, you are humbly basically all in on Bitcoin. But short of that, any percent allocation is a good percent allocation to have. And so what Andrew is mostly focused on is a small percent. You just dip your toe in, and you keep all your other strategies the same, and Bitcoin juices everything in that regard. Yeah. In a very low risk way. Like, he has charts and shit where he shows, like, if Bitcoin does what it's done in the past, this is what happens. And if Bitcoin goes to zero, you still are up. So
yeah,
you have a very low risk way of getting exposure. And pensions specifically are important because a lot of people have their retirement wrapped up in these things. And you don't want to see people go into mandibles with no savings.
Yeah, you're going to need savings. And I think, obviously, we've been doing this show for 6+ years every week. And it's pretty clear that we think everybody should hold all of their savings in Bitcoin. We live by that mantra and are pretty
humbly
much,
without leverage. While remaining cash flow positive.
When you consider the social and professional capital, I think we're definitely leveraged.
Yeah, we're definitely levered.
We're tied. We've got a levered bet on this industry.
My family's going to literally have to squat on federal lands if Bitcoin fails. humbly, I mean, I like to say that we'll end up living in the woods regardless. And the question is if we own the land that we live on or not. Yeah. I don't know where we're going with that. But yeah, I think Bitcoin is the best savings mechanism, and it's incredibly, the beauty of it is it's incredibly simple. You can just focus on your life and you know, focus on what matters to you. Life is incredibly short. Focus on what's important and save in Bitcoin so that yourself and future generations have a highly liquid asset that increases in purchasing power over time that you can spend without permission. Like, that's beautiful. That is going to reduce the effect of mandibles more than anything else. And it's important to be prepared ahead of time.
Agreed. And I brought that up as a prelude to a more nuanced topic, which is we may believe this and wholeheartedly and act on it, but the reality of the situation, if we're being objective and pragmatic, is that there are large pools of capital that do not have the luxury of just going 100% into Bitcoin. Pensions, endowments, funds are examples of that type of pool of capital. So these funds and these pools of capital have to begin becoming pragmatic and realizing that while they can't ape into Bitcoin, they have to strategically begin to dip their toes.
A little bit better than nothing, you know. I see Josh in the Nostr live chat asking if I know how to get a hold of the Freedom One Fediment people. He can't get his funds out. They're troubleshooting things. They're going to, I expect it to be running properly.
Is that Bitcoin Park, Josh?
No, this is a different Josh. Bitcoin Park Josh would just send me a signal message. Just ask me a question in the live chat.
I'm bringing up business on air. Bitcoin Park Josh. Josh, if you're listening, hit me up. I have a question to ask you.
I already texted him the question. He's looking into it for you.
Okay, thank you.
They're not. I don't believe they're trying to intentionally rug. I think Fediment is a bit of a complex beast, and there's a lot of moving parts, and they don't make any money from running it, and they're trying to make it work again. I'll put it there. Just have a little patience, and then when withdrawals open up, just withdraw your money, you should be good.
It's another way of saying trust. Trust the process. It's happening.
I mean, you're already locked in. So, this is the problem with custodial wallets in general, which is a big concern, and is why I brought it up earlier with Bitcoin prediction market. Marty, this is my favorite topic. I just thought about it again. I clearly realize that Trump is better for my family than the alternative, than Harris, right? But he's an 80-year-old Brock Pierce. Like, that's who's going to be our president.
Brock might be too... Donald Trump's a sober man. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. Brock, I think, is on the other end of that spectrum.
The difference between Brock and Trump is that Brock has been more successful at shitcoining. He's one of the largest holders of Bitcoin, one of the most successful scammy ICOs of all time, and EOS. And he actually has run for president, and he's 40 years younger than Trump.
That was a funny campaign.
The reason why I want to bring this up right now is because I just want the record to show, like, first of all, to run for president, you have to be a sociopath, because there's no one that's right-minded that would want that job. Like, I would never fucking do it. And what's going to happen over the next 40 years, Marty, is all the shit corners that we despise we're going to start to see them rise up through the political class, and it'll become even more obvious. Like, that's a stand behind.
I want to take the other side of the bet, but I don't know if I can. I think you may be right.
I mean, I don't even know. I don't know how we'd frame that bet, but as the years progress, I'm just It'll become more and more obvious.
It's
not going to be like, yeah.
It's going to be Charles Hoskinson.
Yeah, and like his like head of communications will be like Lex Friedman and shit. Like it's going to be all the people.
No, it's going to be that crypto Amarin guy, whatever the fuck his name is.
I'm just going to put
Africa
that.
Guy. Oh God. Maybe we'll be called the duty. Would you run for president if it was like, if you don't do it, Charles Hoskinson's going to be president and we need you, Matt?
No, I think I think I'm going to focus on things that I actually have control over and, you know, focus on making sure my family is in a good place and my friends are in a good place and building small communities of like-minded individuals and using Freedom Tech to empower us. I think that's, you know, that's the beauty is you can opt out of just the bullshit.
Let the record show that Matt has said that he would not step up if called to duty. Just let the record show.
Marty, you can run for president. I'll support your candidacy.
We'll think about it. I don't know if...
I feel bad for your wife if you do.
Could you imagine the hit pieces pulling up some old tweets?
Oh, yeah. Here's the other thing is like there's going to be so much... as the future unfolds, like everyone's going to have tons of baggage.
That's true.
Because everyone will have been in this like digital panopticon before they run.
Yeah.
It'll almost look worse if you have no history there.
No skirmishes. Skirmishes.
Yeah.
Skirmish.
Because it's like, okay, what are you trying? Yeah.
All right, moving on. I don't think either of us are going to be president. We can probably agree on that.
Our future president is the 80-year-old Brock Pierce. Like, I'm putting that out.
I hope not. Definitely. Like,
no, he's going to win in November, 80-year-old Brock Pierce. That's what it is.
Oh. Yeah. I have to think on that one a little bit. Next up on the list.
I mean, we're going to live through it. It'll be obvious.
Yeah. TD Bank pleads guilty to Bank Secrecy Act violations and pays a $3 billion fine.
So this is 1% of the revenue they generated during that period. I think it's important to highlight the double standard that's happening here.
Don't worry, though. TD is saying 2025 is going to be a transition year. They're going to...
And this is just the cost of doing business for these big banks.
Yeah.
No, it's a slap in the wrist. They just deal with it and move forward.
I mean, the details of this, like, it has been laid bare that TD Bank employees were successfully bribed by the cartels to allow the facilitation of this quote-unquote money laundering. Made a ton of revenue, ton of profit, $3 billion fine. Meanwhile, you have Tornado Cash developers, Samurai developers, sitting in prison cells waiting or... on house arrest waiting for trial or allegedly, and I think this is what's up for debate, facilitating a much smaller amount of money laundering. No TD bank executives or board members will be sent to prison or even put on trial. They simply pay a fine. They're allowed to go about doing their business. And
a key difference here is like TD Bank actually
explicitly like held the worked money with the cartels
and like moved the money around, right? In both Tornado Cash and Samurai Wallet, they didn't actually have control over any money.
Yeah,
they were both self-custody tools. I mean, that's a massive difference.
That's what everybody jumped on this story. This is the most viral tweet in TFTC's history. We simply just played the press conference of Merrick Garland and with the quote at TD Bank, and everybody's like hopping on, and deservedly so, like hopping on, like this is insane that they're doing this, like they're facilitating money laundering. But my worry is that like people call for more regulation around money laundering and we don't have the debate of is money laundering like even possible to fully stop in the long run? And should we be doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on burdensome regulation to stop this when, as we've said, for 6 years, criminals are going to find a way to do what they want to do? And so does more burdensome regulation actually stop the problem, or is it just harm law-abiding citizens? I think the latter is likely the case.
Yeah, I'm definitely the latter.
Speaking of law-abiding citizens who value human rights, we are on to the Human Rights Foundation story of the week, which is coming from Pakistan. Protesters rally for Imran Khan's release amid internet shutdowns. Pakistani citizens are rallying and protesting for the release of former Prime Minister Imran Khan, who was imprisoned in 2022 after a clash with the military. Protests come as Pakistan faces record inflation and the highest cost of living in Asia. The government, buried in debt, repeatedly and undemocratically turns to IMF bailouts, which only deepen the financial strain on the economy and ultimately its people to suppress dissent. The regime cut off internet access, blocked roads, and used tear gas on protesters. Cut off from communication and limited by growing restrictions, citizens find themselves cornered, facing not only economic hardship, but also the relentless grip of a regime that refuses to hear their voices. To hear more stories like this, make sure you go to financialfreedomreport.org and sign up for the newsletter. I believe this was the 42nd edition, if I am checking my email correctly right now. 45th edition. This was the 45th edition of the Financial Freedom Report. Yeah, not great. I forgot about that. I remember we talked about it when it was happening. It was pretty insane. They just voted in a prime minister, and the military was like, nah, you're going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, and we're seeing this tactic of shutting down internet access become more and more common, which is a pretty dark precedent to go after communications. I will say it is incredibly impressive what Elon has done with Starlink in terms of making that equation much more difficult for people, for governments, particularly smaller governments like Pakistan. And also, while we're on that note, I didn't have it on the list, but that him like landing an ICBM, like basically a ballistic missile.
I was not paying attention. Who?
He basically landed a ballistic missile is what he did. That's fucking insane.
I mean, it is extremely impressive what SpaceX is doing. External to what we may think about Tesla X. I mean, it is inspiring.
He landed a ballistic missile. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
I think maybe we say he landed a four-story building. I think that maybe...
I mean, like, the missiles are like designed to only land in one way, right? Which is just blowing up. Like, there's, I think, to me, that's where like it really blew my mind. But yeah, okay, we can. It fucking huge. It was like the Statue of Liberty or some shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what.
Pretty crazy.
Again, putting aside what you may think of Elon and his intentions with X, it is undoubtedly inspiring, awe-inspiring. And makes me incredibly hopeful for the future to see that we're pulling off engineering feats like what was achieved earlier this week. I mean, it's like landing a four-story, like catching a four-story building after it launched into space and back.
Pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But before we move on from the Financial Freedom Report out of Pakistan, one... part of that story was the IMS involvement, and I thought, Logan, pull up the tweet. I put in Signal. Porter Stansberry had a good, if you guys aren't following this guy, he's got some really good takes, if you like macro. And it wasn't in relation to this Pakistan news, but I think the IMF in general, we've talked a lot about it in the past, and countries, they get in this terrible economic situation, and they go to the IMF, and the IMF ladens them up with U.S. dollar-denominated debt and makes it nearly impossible to get out of. We saw this with Argentina. They took like something like 29 IMF loans over the course of 50 years. So they take one less than every 2 years. And I'll just read part of this thread. The IMF is now warning about the U.S.'s runaway debt situation. And it's incredibly ironic because the IMF is warning about Americans' debt load and runaway government deficits. If you don't know why that's ironic, he's going to explain. The IMF was created to build a new system of monetary colonialism with the U.S. dollar at its center. The IMF lends huge sums of newly printed dollars to governments. When these governments inevitably end up unable to repay their foreign loans, the IMF prescription isn't less government or sound economics. It's to raise taxes and devalue the local currency. This further entrenches corrupt governments while transferring trillions of value from these countries into dollar-based global financial system. If you're tired of the U.S. government's printing away the value of your wages and your savings, just imagine how the poor citizens of these smaller and more corrupt countries must feel. Oh, he does mention Pakistan. Pakistan has been quote-unquote gifted with IMF bailouts 23 times over the last 75 years. And pity the Argentines. Over the past 63 years, Argentina has been the IMF's biggest customer with 21 separate loans, including the largest loan ever disbursed, $57 billion in 2018. And wanted to bring up this thread because I think it was just a small part of that Human Rights Foundation story. But I think the IMF's influence over the degradation of emerging economies should not be overlooked. And as Porter points out in his thread, it is one of the ways in which the U.S. dollar is weaponized, and control and power, economic power, are sort of centered in the U.S. The IMF is marketed as this savior to global economies, a lender of last resort for typically poor nations, but it is a misnomer. It is toxic. Stay away from the IMF.
Well said.
Thank you. Shout out to Porter. Porter, if you're listening, come on TFTC. I've been DMing you. With that, we got to get to the top four boost.
Thank you for your support, freaks. Also, all the Zaps and Zapstream. Fucking rolling in. Appreciate you guys.
We're going to read the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 326. Peter Todd is not Satoshi. One final shill for TabConf 6 in 1 week, October 23rd to 26th, 2024, Atlanta, Georgia. Those not attending Plan B should attend Plan A. TL. Oh, ATL. Atlanta. There we go. TabConf.com. Go to TabConf. TABConf.com. Shout out to Michael Tidwell and the sponsors, including Spiral, River, and Unchain, Zebedee, HRF, and the others. And if you've never heard of the Capture the Bitcoin Scavenger Hunt, search YouTube for Capture the Bitcoin Challenge Review, TabConf 2021. 17 minutes of rabbit hole you will never get back. If you know, you know. Peace and love. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice. Great conference.
This is, we got some validation in this next boost from Big Foisy LTD. 55,555 sats, fives across the board, palindrome boost. Billiards Meet had a great turnout. Boost shout outs are worth every sat. Thanks, Matt and Marty. Next meetup is Sunday, October 27th, 2 to 6 p.m. at Waters Park. Pumpkin Carvin and Campfire, Bring the Kids, 2518 West Sunnyside Ave, Chicago, Illinois, 60625.
Badass. Love to hear it. Happy to help. Thank you for your support.
Love all y'all. So that's Sunday, October 27th, 2 to 6 at Waters Park in Chicago, Illinois. Shout out to all the Chi-Town freaks out there in this Chi-Town. User 5116269. Nice. 10,000 sats.
Meow. Really?
Yeah.
Dogs are better than cats.
Not a cat person myself. 8 Mithrandir, 7,777 sats, sevens across the board, palindrome boost. Peter Todd about to get kidnapped for his 2 million Bitcoin now. No, he's not. He's not Satoshi. I don't think anybody thinks he's Satoshi after that documentary. I certainly don't.
Oh, I missed that. I got sidetracked by the live chat.
Peter Todd is Elon Musk, if you didn't know. Yeah.
He's landing. Thank you for your support, freaks. We appreciate it.
Appreciate all y'all. Now we're on to the software update section of the podcast. Stratum V2 SRI version 1.1.0 has been released with improved protocol crates, documentation, more testing abilities. Go check that out. Phoenix Wallet version 2.4.0 and Server version 0.4.0 have been released with new open protocol for async LSP. It's good to see the Phoenix team keep pushing. Zeus Wallet version 0.9.1 has been released with Bolt 11 blinded paths, inbound routing fees, and more. So more Bolt 11, implementations in the wild. Zeus.
Wait. Bolt 11 is...
Oh,
is
the original. My bad. Blinded paths. Blinded paths are the big thing here.
They're improving Bolt 11. That's great. That's like your normal, quote-unquote, normal Lightning invoice.
Yeah, so Bolt 11 Blinded Pass, Zeus enhances user privacy with wrapped invoices when using Olympus LSP, and now Blinded Pass, which conceal public keys and specify encrypted payment routes. Users can activate Blinded Pass via the Receive View toggle when the LSP is off. Shout out to Evan and team at Zeus. Electrum version 4.5.6 has been released with Testnet 4, new hardware wallets that are supported as well. LDK version 0.0.125 has been released with bug fixes. ESP Miner version 2.3.0 has been released with improvements and bug fixes. Fountain version 1.1.5 has been released with pay Bolt 11 invoices, artist pages, library improvements, and more. SymbolX Chat version 6.1.0 has been released with better calls and iOS notifications, plus some UX improvements. And news, not really a software update. We're back to news. Stacker News is going to switch to self-custody model on November 5th. So we should probably dive into this a little bit. It's
been a long time coming. Custodial wallets are obviously trusted third parties or security hold, but also those running custodial wallets, particularly, they open themselves up to a bunch of regulatory attack surface. So Stacker News will be moving away from the custodial wallet model. It seems like he's not putting a limit on when you can withdraw your funds, but you should withdraw them sooner rather than later. Not just for your own benefit, but for his benefit. I think he'd rather just have it off his plate and have you guys withdraw your funds. And so you'll be able to send and receive with Lightning self-custody or custodial with a different custodial wallet than his by linking Lightning address. In the meantime, if you don't do that, he's basically adding a credit system that's non-transferable, calling it cowboy credits. So if you zap or receive zaps and you don't have that set up, then you get these cowboy credits that you can use to pay for services on Stacker News, but you can't withdraw them or convert them to sats.
Be aware, freaks. Get on it. November 5th. That is less than a month away. Doing it on Election Day. Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I wouldn't be surprised if he just didn't even realize, but he might have.
And you're at the ballot. You're waiting in line. You're like, oh, shit, I got to go move my sats. I'm getting out of line.
No, the point is you don't, right? Like, withdrawals will still work after November 5th.
So. Yes.
You should withdraw before then. Just for your sake and for his sake.
Moving on, we already talked about Bitcoin prediction.market. Go check it out. Caveats discussed earlier in the episode.
But Marty's guaranteeing that you won't lose your money.
I did not guarantee that. Did not guarantee that. Be aware. Bitcoin Plus had their eCash conference in Germany earlier this week, and their talks and workshops are live on the internet, and we are going to link to those in the show notes. Shout out to NoBS Bitcoin for linking to every single talk that was there. Looked like an incredible conference.
I need to catch up on it. I haven't yet. Sorry. Continue.
No, yeah, I have to catch up on it too. Massive FOMO, not being able to be there. But looked like they're making Bitcoin conferences weird again. They had some really interesting stage setups.
Yeah, I mean, Nifty does a great job with Bitcoin Plus in general. So shout out to her for that. And I mean, just the eCash space is just booming right now. It's just, it's very viral. It's very organic. And it's just, it's exciting. It's exciting to witness how quickly it's growing. So you have the combination of the two of those things. Berlin is also just an awesome city to visit. So,
and it works. I don't know if I mentioned this the other week when I let the world know that I started giving my son an allowance in Bitcoin, but I just set him up with an eCash wallet.
Which one?
Nutstash.
Nice. I really like the PWA cashew.me.
Mm-hmm.
Very clean, easy. You don't have to install an app.
And Nutstash is the same. I just saved it on his tablet. He's funny. He got an allowance of 5,500 sats for helping me break down some boxes. And he thinks he has thousands of Bitcoin. He doesn't understand sats yet.
He'll be in for a rude awakening eventually. And he'll never forget that lesson.
And I know I've said this before, but shout out to the Tuttle Twins, my oldest. It's one of his favorite shows in the Bitcoin episode. Like, he understands Bitcoin. It's crazy. And I didn't push it on him. I swear. I promise. I know many of you are thinking that, like, you're indoctrinating your kid with Bitcoin propaganda.
I don't think there's a single listener that thinks that.
Yeah.
We definitely have hate listeners. So there's probably some hate listeners that think that.
We became guild members at Angel Studios. We started on episode one of Tuttle Twins, worked our way through. The Bitcoin episode is in that, what do we call it? What is it? The library of Tuttle Twin episodes. I don't know. There's a Bitcoin episode.
Wait, so it's not every episode is in Bitcoin, it's just one episode?
There's just one. Now there's two. They came out with another one. But the Bitcoin episode, he watched all of them, and he always wants to go back and watch the Bitcoin episode. And you ask him, what's Bitcoin? And he goes, Bitcoin is hard money. It's like, wow, I'm proud of you, son.
But like, he doesn't even know what that means.
He does. Money, what is the line in the episode? Money that's... And something like money that's easy to make.
I think the funniest part for kids is when they first start reading or whatever, and they're clearly just memorized the book. They just have no idea what the words really say. They just memorize it. But that's awesome. I mean, you got a good education is hard to find, accessible education. So,
yeah. And accessible wallets. Accessible wallets to start an allowance fund. Last but not least on the list, sort of ties into what we were just talking about.
My kid's at the part of his development where when we drive by cows, he moos at them.
Moo. That's our youngest. He doesn't moo, but he's, for some reason or another, obsessed with school buses. Like, if he sees the school bus, he's like, school bus!
That's fucking great.
Yeah, he's a big school bus guy.
Kids are the best.
They really are. Last but not least on the list, Parker Lewis wrote another incredible piece, Bitcoin's Exchange Theory of Value. We are actually going to sit down here in 35 minutes and record an episode of TFTC about this. But yeah, I think it's a really good piece. And what he's really diving into is many people are focused on, particularly institutional capital, Bitcoin as the store of value asset, and individuals like Saylor have gone out there. It's like, why would you ever spend your Bitcoin? And at Bitcoin Park this year, he elaborated on that thought and really tied it to capital gains tax. Like, why would you spend it when you're going to incur that tax? But the whole idea,
it's like person loophole. He's like, you might as well borrow against it and then spend the debt.
Yeah.
So you get that tax.
But there is this idea that Bitcoin has value because it is viewed as a store value asset, which it certainly is, but many people myopically view it just as that. Why would you ever spend it? That's something that comes up. And Parker, in this piece, Bitcoin's Exchange Theory of Value, highlights that Bitcoin only has value because you can exchange it for goods and services, for capital throughout the economy at some point in the future. And Bitcoin's value isn't realized for individual until they actually go to spend it, which is a fine detail, but one to very like that you really need to understand.
It's not store value versus medium exchange. Like it is both. You need to be able to both save and spend without permission. That's what makes good money. If you can't spend it without permission, if we have 100x in purchasing power, 1,000x in purchasing power, and you can't spend it without permission, then you don't actually really own Bitcoin. You own an IOU, because you need to ask someone's permission in order to realize its value in the real world. So you need both. I would say I'm really looking forward to the Parker rip. You should ask him to check out Nostr. It's the largest Bitcoin circular economy in the world.
I will. I'll ask him. I mean, it is proving out his Bitcoin's Exchange Theory of Value.
I think if you're in the echo chamber, like you would think that people don't spend Bitcoin, but if you use Nostr, you'd see that a lot of people do.
Yeah. But I think the broader point of this piece, and obviously Parker and I are about to dive pretty deep into it, but the broader point is that you, the medium of exchange use case is integral in proving Bitcoin's value. Because you have, if you're just buying Bitcoin, saving it, like number one, that was a transaction. That was a medium of exchange transaction. You gave somebody dollars and they sent you Bitcoin. That's a medium of exchange. But let's say you buy, hold for 20 years, Bitcoin goes up in price. It's that value that you think you have is something like Schrodinger's box, where you actually don't know that the value exists till you go to spend it. And the example he used in the piece, which I thought was really good, if you can bring it up, was Elon when Tesla sold a bunch of Bitcoin a few years ago. Basically, he was getting lambasted by Bitcoin Twitter. Like, why would you sell? He makes a very good point. No, you do not. I have not sold any of my Bitcoin personally. Tesla sold 10% of its holdings, essentially to prove liquidity of Bitcoin as an alternative to holding cash on balance sheet. And so this is when Tesla sold, they sold more than 10%. I believe they ultimately sold 80% of their Bitcoin. And that was in the news this week. Their remaining 10,000 Bitcoin were moved. I don't think they sold it, but Elon's
making the point. No one really knows, right? They just know it was moved to new addresses.
Yeah. But a couple years ago, Elon was making the point, like, we had to prove that Bitcoin has value as a medium of exchange cash equivalent. So, excited to talk about this piece with Parker.
Badass. I mean, Tesla's a public company, so we'll find out, I guess, in their next quarterly reports.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they would need to sell. I think they're pretty cash flush right now, from what I understand.
You're going to get a Tesla robot for your house?
No, I don't think so. See, that's the other thing. That's like, you see things like SpaceX, and I think it's pretty well known. Like, those robots were not AI. It was like human.
No. That's a conspiracy. He says they're AI, but it sounded like there was a person on the other side of the microphone.
I don't know.
But he says those were AI generated, you know, conversations with his humanoid robots.
Well, I did get lunch with Lyle Pratt from Vita earlier this week, who's on the cutting edge of AI, particularly voice generated AI. And he said, like, we're reaching the point for voice generate or like AI voice where like it's going to pass the Turing test. Like the emotion that these voice AIs have is indiscernible from actual humans at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like the stepping stone, right? Because then you just get the brain chip and you can just communicate without audio.
Could you imagine this podcast of us just staring at each other?
Just everyone with the brain chip can just listen to each other.
Yeah, we just stare at each other.
Exactly. You don't have to actually speak out loud or listen.
You just emote. Yeah. Would that be a world of mute? I mean you're technically not mute, but nobody's talking.
I just finished the Nexus series, which kind of explores that. It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. This world's crazy. You guys are crazy for joining us and supporting us. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure, and I don't think this is, I mean, depending on your perspective, you can take it as a black pill if you want, but we're trending more and more into dystopia, and it's going to be the overwhelming majority are going to probably live in that dystopia. And like the key is making sure that like the minority is empowered and there's more of us than less of us. Like just increasing that number of people that are opting out, basically. Like that's the white pill. The white pill is increasing that number of empowered individuals.
I think we're going to be fine. The long arc of human history has proven that. Things get messy. Pendulum swing. But we survive. We persist.
I mean, some of us will.
Become more free.
I think humanity will be fine. I think there'll just be many human slaves.
Black pill. Bringing slaves back.
Why wouldn't we just use the robots as slaves? The white pill is focused on the people that escape it, right?
Yeah.
It's a hopeful message. It just doesn't sound necessarily hopeful, but I think the stakes are high. I think the stakes are quite high. I mean, if you like look at Facebook right now, like Facebook is literally their user growth is only stifled by people being born. they have like 6 billion active users. And we call them active users, but like they're addicted to it. They're attached to it. Their life revolves around it. They're just constantly like staring at their phones, and scrolling and seeing like what the algorithm gives them.
We've said this before. I literally couldn't even tell you what Facebook's UI looks like these days. It's been so long.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't used it in over a decade, but
back to white pills, optimism, particularly for Bitcoin. I wanted to mention this earlier when we were talking about Andrew's piece, an institutional investor. I think that's an example of Bitcoiners reaching out to a different class of people who should get Bitcoin and getting it. I had the pleasure of recording an episode of TFTC with Courtney Swan yesterday, who goes by Real Foodology on Twitter and other social platforms. She's pretty good. It was actually my wife. DM'd her and asked her to come on my podcast and then told me like, yeah, I DM'd this woman and she's going to come on your podcast. And I was like, all right, cool. So we sat down yesterday and Courtney's on the tip of the spear of like Maha, like real food, getting pharmaceutical and big agriculture, big food out of our food system. And you can see that it's an example of people that recognize that central authority is corrupted a particular part of our lives, Courtney, the Maha movement, food and the pharmaceutical industry. And we had a great conversation. I think people that are running in that track, and it's like parallel to Bitcoin, we've realized that centralization has really fucked up the money. In the beginning, we had a really good conversation about Bitcoin midway through the episode, and you could see some light bulbs go off. And I think that is going to be very powerful this cycle, is people in these tangential movements that are very aligned philosophically with what we're doing in terms of living a life of freedom and getting central authority out of your life, connecting and understanding Bitcoin. And once you get more of these tangential parallel movements, really having the unlock for Bitcoin. I think that supercharges the sprint towards freedom and a healthier society overall. And that tended on a white pill, not dystopian. People getting back to sun, steel, and good food.
I mean, freedom tech is hope.
It is. Freedom tech, good health, sun, steel.
But I, like, yeah, I focus on the grassroots things. The high level stuff, corrupt and broken, and just needs to be wiped fresh.
Then we talk. They're leading a grassroots movement, the Maha people. These guys are just listing our portfolio companies and Zap.tree. No, what's going on here?
It's just one dude who needs to get a life and learn how to be a productive member of society. I think he obviously has some issues with how we decide to spend our time at 1031. I'm quite proud of our work there. I think we support some of the best Bitcoin companies in the world. I think our investors are quite happy with the performance of the fund so far, and that's between us and them. So that's basically my response to him. And a lesser person would ban him from the chat.
Are you getting mad? He's asking if you're getting mad, Matt.
Jerk himself off.
Don't, hey, if you jerk yourself off, make sure you're not watching porn. Porn's bad for the mind.
I would just say that, I think, you know, with 1031, we provide a critical role to Bitcoiners that are trying to build out Bitcoin infrastructure businesses. Companies like Strike that are trying to provide access to Bitcoin to people around the world that want someone who's aligned. And I would say that a founder like Jack realizes that the cost of capital is Bitcoin, and that if he's not accumulating Bitcoin and if he's not profitable, then he's losing money and he's failing. And I think a lot of these businesses will be the most profitable businesses in the world as we transition to a Bitcoin standard. And I think our performance over time will show that, and we'll be able to prove it with proof of work. And I would last but not least say that while our portfolio does include 35 of the top Bitcoin companies in the world, those checks are not equally weighted. And a lot of the early stage ones are much smaller investments, while a lot of our investments are concentrated in a few of the larger ones.
Yeah. I'm very excited about what we've done, what we're going to do at 1031.
Yeah, it's fucking badass.
It's a very privileged position to be able to work with these founders. I guess I got lunch with Lyle from Vita earlier this week. Very excited for what they're building. And we're going to win. There's white pills. Bitcoin's pumping. It's fall 2016 vibes. We've got a humble run to $1.8 million coming between now and next December. So strap in, get ready. Things are going to get crazy, crazier than they already are.
I love it. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks.